and chapter 33. So these three men cease to answer Job. So you remember last week, Job finally made his defense. Please don't be inspired today. Learn. Not for my sake or whatever, but for your own sake. Don't just be inspired. Get a hold of what God is showing you. First of all men are licentious. All men are licentious. I didn't spell that right. But anyway. So, everybody, maybe I did, I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is. Is there a C in there? Yeah, I thought there was. All right. Is it S at the end? Ah, that's what it is. I knew there was something wrong there. You cannot see up here. That's all right. Licence. There it is. That looks better. All right. Everybody starts out that way. Licentious means you're lawless. You know, you don't fear God. You act outside of God's law. So everybody starts out that way, number one. Number two, some men are legalistic. Now, this one is lawless, no fear of God, just doing what you know, what's right in your own eyes. You just do your own thing. This is not Job. The next thing is men become legalistic. That is, they're looking like they're hypocrites. They're looking like they're pleasing God because they go to church. They do outwardly what God wants. And so you're either, these are the only two choices, by the way, on the earth, are these two choices for natural man. You can either be licentious, a bad guy, so put down wicked, outwardly wicked, or you can be a hypocrite, which means you're wicked, but you look nice. That's right, nice. Nice person. Now, how many of you are licentious and how many of you are wicked? Okay, licentious, first of all. Okay, now how many are wicked? Okay, as Peggy just pointed out, they're the same. Because this is just the hypocritical version of this. So there's only wicked people. Did I do it wrong? Oh, how many are nice? How many are nice? Okay. That means you're talking about behavioral modification. All you're doing is dressing up the flesh to look like the spirit when it's not. In other words, you're a liar. So you're just simply a liar. This person could honestly tell the truth. I stink. I'm no good. I hate God. I just do my own thing. But this person is never honest, always dishonest. And so they're liars. That's a liar. A liar. Remember Jesus said they go into hell first. Biggest group. Number one group is liars. You do not love God.
Second group puts perfume on their stink.
Do what?
They put perfume on their stink.
Perfume on their stink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Now, there is another option which isn't apparent to natural man. This is all that there's apparent to natural man, and that is love. Now, if we were to describe the perfect man, he would neither be licentious nor legalistic. Neither nor. But love. So love is the intent of God. God wants every man to be a lover. Why? Because God's love. And his purpose then, now I'm going to define love, not like you normally think of it, as first of all, faith, which is believing in Jesus' love for you, imputed, it's called imputed righteousness. I have to teach you this because you will not understand the subtlety of Job unless you see this, and you won't understand your own life. You won't even know what's going on with Job. See, the guy was in trouble, you know, seemed to be an okay guy, but somehow they were saying he sinned, and he said he didn't, but don't all men sin? You get all mixed up. You'll never get clear on it, because you have to understand what's right before you can understand what's wrong. You have to know what the standard is. You have to know a standard. So this is the biblical standard. So I'm gonna put down 3A is faith. Now that's something that neither the licentious nor the legalistic have. They don't have faith in Jesus. They have faith in themselves, or they don't have faith in themselves. The first group just, you know, they might readily admit, okay, I'm no good. Or they might say, I'm fine, I don't care. But they don't care. Regardless, they have no fear. So this is a fearless group. And this is by far the majority. This is number two. By far the majority of people, not just in America, but everywhere in the world. But always men are religious. They're moral, they're clean, they're nice, they're sweet, they're religious, they're liars. Always. They are always complete liars, and they grow up that way because their parents make them grow up that way. And so if they misbehave, then they have to go to confession. You know, so that's the old Catholic way, you know. Oh, you misbehave, but if you'll just go and pay off and, you know, light some candles and run around the block five times and stuff, you'll be fine. So everybody knows by nature, you don't have to be smart to know this. If you do something wrong, all you have to do is make up by doing three things right in a row after that. And you pretty much got it covered. So that's the natural man who thinks for himself. You can tell the brilliance of this. So this is as high as natural reason. I'll just write here, the natural man with his natural reason and conscience. Natural man equipped by God in nature. Everybody has this. He has reason and he has a moral conscience. Reason and moral conscience. Moral conscience. So he knows right and wrong. He knows right and wrong. Moral conscience. He feels that number two is good. He's convinced that number two is good. Even the wicked agree to that. Even the wicked, even they know. I mean, even among thieves and robbers and murderers and prisoners, they know, I hate so-and-so. He should be killed. The guy in my church who killed 13 people because he was a hitman, he said, Pastor, you know what? I never killed anybody that didn't deserve it. And I felt like that was a nice thought. And I told him, you know, you are a lot better than I am, because I would just kill just to kill because I'm mean and nasty. And he was kind of shocked because he killed 13 people. I mean, murdered them. Described them to me. So we went through and had to ask forgiveness of each one of those persons that he had killed, and he became a Christian, became a believer in Jesus. But we moved him to a deeper level, which was so that he now had faith in God. And that's called imputed righteousness. You're not really righteous. It's just that you believe Jesus is forgiving and merciful. Okay? So here you see the holiness of God up here. These two are holy. The first one doesn't do it, and the second one pretends to do it. So that's the holiness of God will work that. The next thing is mercy. M-E-R-C-Y. And mercy, then, and even the natural man knows there is such a thing as mercy. This is, don't know how it exactly works. I just told you, if you do one wrong, you can probably do three rights to make up for it and so on. But that's assuming you know what right is. And remember, God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, don't try to figure this thing out. Don't try to experiment. Don't try trial and error. You know, I'm trying. Because that's what parents do. They raise their kids who are all evil from the beginning. Every little kid in the whole world is nasty, selfish, doesn't care about any other little kid, and you have to beat the tar out of them to get them to just behave themselves and mind their P's and Q's. Everybody aware of that? You do. You cannot just say, no, sweetheart, don't do that. You have to beat them. You have to discipline them, instruct them, afflict them, punish them till they finally catch on. Do you all see this? Okay, so this is simple. Now, that's what's wrong today with the church. The church just assumes it's been around for a couple thousand years, and so we all understand everything. No, we don't. So we need this kind of rough teaching, just plain, ABC stuff to get down to the basics again. Most men in the world are not licentious too much. too much. Okay? Most men are hypocrites, liars. Let God be true in every man. Every man. Well, that includes both groups. Then. Every man a liar. See, now God has a totally different view of life than people do. God totally thinks that all men are liars. Well, that kind of ruins group one. Group two, I mean. That ruins group two. If all men are liars and hypocrites, then even though they're all in two, it's because they're liars and hypocrites, they're actually in one. So God reduces everybody to sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So that kind of eliminates one and two as being worth anything to God. However, God in his mercy, now in his holiness, you're condemned. Under the law, you're condemned. But in his mercy, God forgives men. So here you have faith with imputed righteousness. Imputed just means God says you're righteous even though you're not. It's like a mother who saw the little kid do wrong, but that's her little sweetheart. So she just says, well, he's fine. He wasn't fine. He did wrong. Needs to be whipped, beaten, spanked. Yeah, but he's mine. How many know that? That's the way parents are. Well, God's kind of like that, too. God's kind of like that. He knows you deserve hell. But he decides he'll send Jesus to die for you, and now it'd be double jeopardy and all that kind of thing. So he just kind of gives you a way out. Gives you a way out. Okay, you did wrong, but here's the deal. I'm going to make a way for you to get back in my good graces. So, but that faith isn't love. I just said this is the lover. But faith is not love. Faith is not love. Faith is not love. That's what faith is, not love. Faith is I was one of these two. But because God loved me and I believed in it, then God called me one of his sons. He gave me his own nature and said, you know, don't worry about it. I'll send you not just mercy, but I'll also send you power. I'll send you power. So you see how God in his holiness condemns me, in his mercy forgives me, and his power changes me. In his holiness, he condemns me. So that's the first thing you want to learn in life is that you're condemned. If you want to know why people don't like you, it's because you're not likable. You're not likable. That's why they don't like you. They can only stand you so much. People can't take it too much. Do you all understand that? Do you all see this as you? Okay, I just want to see a show of hands because I'll dwell on it if not. You all get that? You're nasty. You are not worthy. You are not nice. You're not a decent person. You're wicked, licentious. Okay, now if you get a hold of that, you can get along a lot better with people. Because we're all alike. None of us is good. No, not one. None is good save God. Only God's good. If only God is good and you're not good, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then nobody's good. So you're not either, because you're one of the buddies of the nobody group. So you're a nobody. All right, nobody's good. So, and even though I just said that, a lot of you still think you're good. You do. You just think that. You just want to be. There's just something inside of you that just, I don't want to say I'm bad. I'll say I'm not perfect, but I'm not saying I'm bad. I'm not as wicked as Adolf Hitler. I'm not as wicked as, you know, Satan or something. Well, what are you? If you kill the Son of God, what are you? If you kill God's Son, I don't know, what are you? Your sins killed the guy. It's because of your sins he died. Not everybody's sin. Of course, it was everybody's sin, but it was yours. That's the part that counts for you. Your sins, if you were the only one to sin, in other words, that'd be enough to kill him. He would have had to die just for you. Amen? So your husband has figured that out. Your wife has figured that out. Your parents have figured it out. And your kids have figured it out. And some of your neighbors have figured it out. Now, the reason why a lot of people don't catch you is because they don't want to be caught themselves. If they unmask you, you might grab their mask. So that's pretty much why people don't bother telling you what a lousy person you are. Because you stink. And you've got to admit that. At least admit it to yourself. At least admit it that before God, you are no good. You've never been good. And I can feel each of you trying so much. Well, I did come to church today. I did read my Bible. I'm I'm at least, and then you just fill in the blank with something. But the point is, you're a liar. You are a liar. You are a filthy, no good, rotten liar. And that's God's view of you. All are sheep who have gone astray. Every sheep. And you'd like to think, how many here would like to think you were the one sheep that didn't go astray? No, I followed the master. I followed the master. I don't think so. You've always been nasty. You've always been selfish. You've always been, you know, totally into yourself. You've never cared for anybody else. You never loved anybody. You never cared for anybody but you. You think you're a god. You think you're great. You're proud. You know, you're full of fear. You're full of anger, bitterness, jealousy. You know, that's the kind of way we really are. When you boil it right down to that's why marriages don't work anymore, because people have the illusion that they could be good. All evil comes from you imagining that you're good. In other words, it would be better for you to be evil than to pretend like you're good. Because when you pretend like you're good, your evil is buried even deeper, and it's more treacherous. Now, I know you don't believe what I just said, but you're not going to argue with it. But I'll give you a scripture. It says, when the law came, sin became exceeding sin. It's a very interesting concept. The natural man knows sin, but he does not know exceeding sin. Exceeding sin is number two. But you cannot know that by nature. You can know you're a simple hypocrite and a liar, but you can't know how deep it is and how much Jesus Christ has paid for you unless you realize what a wicked person you are. You have never thought of God, not one second of your life. You've never thought of anybody else but yourself. No, I once gave a pencil to somebody. You know, I'm a compassionate person, Pastor. I'm not like you are. Okay. You're a liar. Unfortunately, you're just as compassionate as I am. Zero. Zero. You don't have any compassion in you at all. If you did, it'd be a gift of God. And it wouldn't be you. It would be a miracle that God wrought in you. That's why he said, you know, men don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. And they know they're not wrought in God. They're just wrought in themselves. So whether you're wroughting bad things or good things, they're all the same. That's why all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, are you all with me? You got that? I could go over that a gazillion times, but you got it. Okay, so we move on. Now, B is not just faith, and I'll put here in my spirit man. That's my spirit man. So there is my spirit. That when you're born again, that's a spiritual rebirth. Okay? Now, but most Christians stop right there. Hey, I'm not in group one and two, I'm a group three. Okay. But you know what? You don't even understand group three. No, I do. I know that it's because of Christ that I'm forgiven, and that's my basis of my joy, and that's why I come to church and believe, and I'm trying my best, and so on and so forth. Well, that is just the beginning. That is not the end of love. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. In other words, don't do one and two. But this is the only sin right here, that you don't have faith. This is the only sin. This is not a 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 sin. Neither license nor legalism. Those are not sins. The real sin is right here. It's not that you were one of these. It's that you weren't one of these. I'll give you a scripture. You know, you got to have a scripture for everything. You got to have authority for everything you say. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. That's the greatest sin. It's the only real sin. I'm going to say it again, because you may not have understood the power of that. Just read it in the scripture. Just, yeah. But you got to think about that. The only real sin in life is nothing except not believing in Jesus. If I believe in Buddha and I'm nice to my neighbor and so on, it doesn't count. The only issue is believing on Jesus. Now, however, I want to now attack that, what I just said. I want to attack that. Because if that were all there were to it, we'd all be fine just by believing that Jesus died for me, and, you know, that's the end of the matter. It's not the end of the matter. Now, this is where we divide with, I won't say all other churches, but I'm going to say all other churches. Because I'm teaching you something. I'm trying to show you something.
Other churches stop right here. That's how you get big church growth and all these big highfalutin, hoopity-doo type churches. You get all of them. Now, they're wrong. I'm right. So there you have it. Boy, that Pastor Jim, you are so arrogant. You are so like that. Well, I don't care. I don't care because I was one of these, and I didn't even bother with one of these. I just went straight to one of these. Because you can go straight from 1 to 3. As a matter of fact, you can never go from 2 to 3. If you're a 2, you have to go back to 1 in order to go to 3. I just said something extremely profound. The legalist has to repent twice. He has to go back and admit that he never was any good, and then he can believe on Jesus only when he's loved for being rotten to the core. Because love never touches a 2. There is no love for a 2. You say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, but remember, these are liars. They're not really 2s. They're really 1s. And so God, in showing the law of Moses, God will show that this is exceeding sin. Paul said, you know, had the law not come, I wouldn't even have known what sin was. But when the law came and showed it to me, more than nature, more than reason, more than my natural moral conscience, when I saw the law of Moses, that's when I began to understand, oh my God, it said, don't do it. Well, I do that. I became exceeding sinful. I realized, you know, the more you try to be a good Christian, the more sin will come out. The more you say, okay, I'm going to be up 6 o'clock. Okay, I'm not going to be judgmental anymore. That don't work. Has anybody figured that out? That doesn't work. The more you try not to sin, you will sin more egregiously than ever before. So those that are the nicest looking are the meanest snakes. Aren't you glad you came? Because you don't learn this normally. Because most churches won't even teach this or preach this. Because otherwise they won't get good offerings. Now, it's better to have the truth. It'll set you free. So This is all background. All right, now, so number 2 is not imputed righteousness, but actual. In other words, it's one thing to say, I love you in Christ, or that's my position in Christ. That's the Bible churches, Baptists, you know, once saved, all these kind of lies. Did you hear what I just said? I attacked now the Dallas, you know, stronghold. I just attacked Dallas. Now, will God back me up or them? There's more of them than me. I'm going to win. Why? Because it's the truth. It's right out of the scripture. So this thing here of my position in Christ, who I am in Christ, who Christ is in me, the faith teachers, the Bible churches, the Baptists, you know, most of the evangelicals, all the evangelicals. No, this is rubbish. Jesus never said, well believed. When you come to heaven someday, he's not going to say, by golly, you believe really good. No, he's not. He's going to say, well done. Well done isn't A. 3A is not done. 3A is just, he forgave me for these 2, and but I never amounted to a hill of beans. But faith, if it's really faith, is always active in love. All right? So you're going to have active, which means actual character change. So here is my soul, and my character is actually being changed from one degree of glory to another. This is a daily process. It isn't a one-time event like faith is. Faith is, boom, you believe, boom, it's over with. You're perfect in your spirit, not in your soul. Just because you have faith doesn't mean you're nice to live with. Just because you have faith doesn't mean you're still grown up. You're still immature. You're a little child, a technon, a little child. You're just a baby Christian. You're a baby. And that's why most Christians in Dallas, and I'm speaking of Dallas because we are, most Christians in Dallas, unless you live in, you know, McKinney, are just baby. They're babies. The big churches are baby churches. You say, well, don't they have any mature people? Of course. Every church does. Every church has some mature people. Which ones? The ones that were beat. The ones that had hell in their lives. That's the only way to grow up. You never grow up. You'll never stop being a 3A. You'll never become a 3B until you go through hell. So when you call up and say, Pastor Jim, I'm going through hell right now. Good. It's very good. Wonderful. You're about to be matured. Isn't that fun? I mean, when you're physically in pain and you're mentally grieved and disturbed, and, you know, that's good. Keep going. Turn the heat up. Isn't that mean? I told you I was mean. No, I'm not mean. That's the most loving father who would chasten his son. If he loves you, if he loves you, he'll chasten you. But if you're a bastard, a 3A, he'll leave you. He'll leave you self-confident. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm the righteousness of Christ. Don't try to put that negative on me. I'm the righteousness of Christ. Yeah, but you're living in sin right now. I'm not. You ought to have seen me before. No, I've cleaned up. You're wicked as a snake. You're a liar. No, I'm not. I believe in Jesus. That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. So you have a new spirit. Where's your spirit going? Nowhere. The whole point of giving you a spirit is to conquer the soul so you can conquer the body. So now, this is what he wants right here. It's not just character, but conduct. He wants to change your walk, your conduct, actual righteousness, actual holiness, actual purity. I mean, something people could see. They can't see B and A. Nobody can see your faith, and nobody can see your character. It has to have fruit. It has to have some evidence. It has to be something outward. And that's the body. There's where we're heading. We're heading for the body. Here's what the body used to be: wicked. Then through the soul conquered the body, not the spirit. The soul conquered the body. This is the Greek, you know, understanding. The soul, the psyche, conquered and made it behave itself. So that's why the Greeks are big into, you know, rule by reason over the passions. That's the whole Greek thing right there. Well, that's garbage. You still go to hell. Even though you're not ruled by your bodily, you know, bacchanal, you know, your hedonistic, nasty side, one. So you become more noble, you know, more like Marcus Aurelius or, you know, one of those ancient Greeks and Roman type peoples. Well, fooey on them. Because God condemns them all. Says you're all going to hell. That's why Jesus came. If Marcus Aurelius, the Stoic, had gotten it, Jesus wouldn't need to come. If natural man could have figured this out and knew what good and evil was, oh, yeah, yeah, here's what it is, hey, when bad things happen, just buck up. Well, if that was the truth, Jesus died in vain. He didn't need to come. We could have figured it out on our own. And here we are judging what Jesus did, trying to figure it out. Oh, yeah, what he did was good. How do you know that? Well, what he did was wrong. You don't know anything. What do you know? As a natural person, you don't know nothing. You don't know what good and evil is. You know there is a good and evil, but you're evil. That's it. So how could evil know what good was? Y'all see it? I just wiped out all of human civilization, all of human education. SMU is out of business. I just wiped them out because they know nothing. Now, I'm teaching you the truth. You see, isn't this a blessing for Dallas? Thank you, Jesus. We get the truth. It's in the Bible. I'm just reading what's in the book. I'm just telling you what it says literally, because I'm not one of those fancy guys that try to reinterpret it for the flesh appeal. Because people love itching. They have itching ears. They love to hear stuff, you know, twisted in such a way that I'm okay, you're okay. That's the kind of Dallas gospel. Hey, everything's okay. Yeah, I go to the bar, but you know what? I'm a Christian. And on Sunday, I've witnessed to a lot of those people. In fact, there used to be a member of the church that used to bring all the girls that he slept with to me so that I could get them saved after he slept with them. He would witness to them and say, you know, you come to need to meet Pastor Jim. And so we got quite a few of them saved. That's not Christianity, folks. That's not Christianity. I won't say who you are, because you know who you are. So, this is not really Christianity. What is Christianity? Well, that you are Christ-like in every way, letting his holiness and his mercy and his power transform you. The holiness, here's how it transforms you. You're no good. That's the first thing, is to strip you, make you naked. I mean, every once in a while, something will happen in your life where you'll go like this. Oh, my God, I'm the problem. Every once in a while, that'll dawn on you. Jeez, I don't know anything. Well, I am bad. Every once in a while. But that will not last. That is like a temporary insight. And you'll kind of you remember that kind of like, oh yeah, well, I know I'm not all that good. I've seen from time to time. You know, that's nothing. That's not conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's just psychological confession like you might do in a bar. Hey, how's it going, Ted? Oh, God, I'm a horse's, you know, and so on. Well, that is not confession. That's just, you know, the guy being honest for a moment. You all understand? Don't be fooled by people. It's play acting. I hit my wife tonight, and da-da-da-da. Well, you know, have another one here. You know, you'll be all right, Ted. We've always liked you. You know, this is nothing. It's nothing. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, you're dead. You are lacerated. You are naked forever. I'm telling you, until I became a Christian, I was not a Christian. I didn't sneak up on it by degrees, you know, kind of creep into it. I was whole hog for Satan. I didn't even know Satan. I just was whole hog for sin. And then I was whole hog for Jesus, just like that. Black, white. Oh, Pastor, I wish I could be like that. Why? What do you wish you could be like that? You are like that. You just lied to yourself. You're exactly as I was. I just didn't have any props. I didn't have any hides. I didn't have any religion. I did not grow up in a church. I had no religion at all. First time my third father, Adolf Hitler, ever took us to church. That was the first time I ever heard of that stuff. It was a shock to my system. You know, it's like, I ain't going to buy this. I'm not going for this. I want happiness. I want life. Life! Life! L'chaim! So that's what you want when you're a pagan. You just want life. Whether it's beer or, you know, whatever, wine, women's song. You don't care what it is. Just whatever. Whatever gets me there. Psychological, physical, whatever. How many know that everybody's built like that? Everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much religion you pile on top of yourself. It's nothing. It's zero. All that morals and all that religion is so thin. You just put a guy in a furnace, you'll find out right away. You'll see what he's really like. Put him into pressure, boom, his old self will come right back out. You know, the old fight will just come right out. The nasty snake. You know, a lot of you who are nice, I mean, you've adapted, learned to behave yourself because you can get along better. You have a snake tongue, sarcasm, bitterness. It just comes out every once in a while. You know, for the most part, you're smiling like this, and every once in a while, it just come out like that. You know, it just sneak out, and then you pull it right back. And thank God you are a wonderful person by pulling that back. Thank God, because people have no idea what you could really be. So you don't want to marry a person like that. Of course, I notice people do. They fall for it every time. People will marry nasty people who are hiding it, and then it'll come out when you're least expecting it. You know, you're just laying there in bed. You're just laying there, sleeping peacefully. You know, you know, this is a peg. I'm telling you. You know, she just, every once in a while, just gets so mad at me because she knows how wicked I am and that I believe in Jesus and I'm having a good time. And she's struggling, you know, trying to, you know, do it right. And every once in a while, it just makes her mad. How can you smile? You wretched so-and-so, you know, because I've lived like hell my whole life until I met Jesus. I just lived like hell. And then all of a sudden, you loving Jesus, fall in love with Jesus. You know, I was a 3A for a long time. I just stayed right here, 3A. I don't want any cleaning up or anything. I just want to go to heaven and live like hell all the way. I want to live all the way in hell till I get to heaven, and then just jump at the last minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's hoping I made it. But you see, you might not make it. It's all right, I'm 67. So God knows what liars we are. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. So this is his picture of what he wants right here. This last one, this is the work of the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do this. You can't do B or C. 3A you can do because it's a gift. But 3B is you going through the furnace. You can't get this without a furnace. So somebody said, well, I'd like to get that by faith. No, you can't get it by faith. This is faith active in love. So you got to have furnace here and really hot furnace here. But actually, B is the problem. B is the problem. Few of us have surrendered our souls, ourselves. We still want to stay alive. We still want to preserve ourselves. And Jesus is saying, take up your cross and follow me. So you've got to take up your cross. I'm going to make a cross right here. You've got to take up your cross and follow him. Then the works that result after the cross, I don't know if you can all see that, after the cross. Now, I'm sorry for those out in tape land, because you can't see what I've written on the board. License, legalism, 1 and 2. Then I wrote love, ABC. So subpoint, faith, character, conduct. Same as spirit, soul, body. Same as imputed righteousness, actual righteousness, actual righteousness. So the last two only come through fire. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. You have to suffer. Most of you do not want to. I'm just going to have a show of hands. How many here want to suffer? See, I mean, it's just not, you know, we want to preserve our lives. We don't want to die. But until you lose your life, you won't find it. Oh, I thought that meant, well, I don't care what you thought it meant. What it means is you don't get to run your life anymore. That's why people don't want to hear this message. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But what it tells me is there's still licentious people then. Because licentious people, which are natural people, don't want to die. This is a form of death, but it's only a form. It's not death at all. You still can keep alive right here. This is you still protecting yourself with religion. You're using religion to defend yourself from God the killer. Because God wants you dead. When you see how great God is, you shut up. You just shut your mouth. You're just shut down. It's like, shut up. You don't know anything. Because you wanna prove, hey, I want to show something. All right, this is all a background. This is a background. But please, get this down because you can use it for the whole Bible, not just on this one or two chapters. This is a background that there's no understanding anymore in the churches because we've lost this kind of picture of who you are. Forget who God is. God has made you to be Christ-like, but you're not going to pull it off. Because he made it in such a way that only mercy can get you the fire. After you get the mercy, then you get the fire. Remember the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It comes after water baptism. The baptism of the Spirit and fire. Forget that little word. I mean, everybody preaches on that. Just forget the fire part. Let's just go baptism of the Holy Ghost so I can speak in tongues and, you know, sing happy songs in church. And I'm a charismatic now, a crazy kind of person. This is not what God is talking about. What he's talking about is a Holy Spirit. Not just, you know, weird or smiley faced. No. He actually wants Holy Spirit, which means holy, to make you exactly like Jesus. Oh, I see, in the world to come? No. What good is it going to be in the world to come? It's in this world that he wants you to be holy. It's in this world. I'll give you one final scripture to nail this so tight you can't move. They are called the sons of God who are led by the Spirit. Now, it could have said, they are called the sons of God who believe. It doesn't say that. Or who want to be. They're willing to be Christians. I want to be a Christian. I really do, Pastor. I just have tried my best, but if you could just help me, because I want to be a Christian, you're a liar. You do not want to, because it means you're deaf. Oh, okay. You don't want to be a Christian. You don't want to be Christ-like, because it's going to mean you're deaf. You got to die. Then you resurrect. Die. Then resurrect. Die. Resurrect. Lose your life. Save your life. You find your life only when you're dead and you're not a person anymore. You don't have a personality. You don't have the me anymore. Isn't that exciting? I'm telling you, it doesn't go easy. Just because you got born again, you're not right away like eager to live by the Spirit. They are the sons of God who are called the sons of God. What? If they are led, that's conduct. I just made it up. I just made it up. Because I had to have a clinching argument. All right. What I'm saying is, he didn't say just believers or just wanters. And that's what we do. Well, I'm not a real good Christian, but I wanted to be. I really did. That's a lie. You don't want to be. Who wants to be? Your spirit? Your spirit already is. Your soul? Never. Death of the soul. That's called sanctification. Justification is A, sanctification is B, glorification is C. Justification, all right, so here, A is justification. Justification. In the Greek language, it's got a separate word. It's dikaios. 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 Okay? That's the Greek. Then the next one is sanctification. Different word. Sanctification. What's that? That is hagios. 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 And the third one is glorification. That's where he wants all of us to be. It's going to take us 2 or 3 weeks, but we're going to get there. All right? That's called in Greek doxa. Doxa. So those three words are all in the scripture. That's God speaking, not me. I'm not making this up. It isn't the Greeks just making up words. This is God, the Holy Spirit, using this language to convey what he wants to convey, is that he wants you to have all three of these. Amen? Because this leadeth to happiness. That's why you're not happy. That's why you're not happy. You remember the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice, and you're not. Why? Because you're not dead. I know why you're not, because you're still looking at your problems. You're still looking at circumstances. Still looking at yourself. You're still trying to dominate and control people. Hey, die out. Go through the furnace. Go through the fire. Go through some trouble. Pastor, I'm in trouble. Help me out. No. Get back in there. Get in that furnace of affliction. Israel's greatest blessing lies ahead. Israel's greatest blessing lies ahead. Israel hasn't even got to point two yet. Israel's such hypocrites and liars, they haven't even gotten here. They're not even believers in Jesus, let alone dead to themselves, let alone living as living sacrifices for the Lord God, empowered by the Holy Ghost, and we are their lights. We are the examples. Remember, you're the light of the world. What kind of light are you if your light's dim or non-existent? Maybe someone pulled the chain, you just can't see it. Are you the light? Yes, I am, but my light's out right now. You know, this is not a joke. No wonder nobody can see anything or hear anything. You are also to be salt in this world. There can't be any salt in 3A, 3B. Only 3C is salt and light. You all understand? Only till you're dead. Nothing starts till you're dead. I thought it was Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, he died on the cross, but now he said, take up your cross and follow me. Follow, is that like believe? No. That's like do. Believing, willing, doing. The doing is the one that counts. You count up how many words doing are there in the New Testament. Ah, that's for Jews. No, it's not for Jews. Well, that's for legalists. And it's not for legalists. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. You have no excuse. Well, I got some tough sins in my life. There are no tough sins. Well, it's hard to keep the... It's hard to be perfect, you know, Pastor. That's a good one. I mean, it's hard to be perfect. It's impossible. We're not talking about you doing. We're talking about you dying. You can only do when you're died. Doing comes from dying, comes from believing. After all, you're not believing in you. You're believing in Jesus, who will help you to die so that then you can do. Why? Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Blah, 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 blah. So, hey, this is not difficult. You just can't do it. Get rid of your pride, your brains, your capacity. Okay, now this is background. This is just background. Now I want to get into Job. Because Job, I probably won't get through both chapters. Unless I read like they do on the radio, you know, real fast. All right, let's just see where we go. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he said he was righteous in his own eyes. So Job said, I'm righteous. What? This lawlessness? This kind of hypocrisy? What, through faith? How are you righteous? Imputed? Remember, Job, you don't know this. Job didn't live in our day. He's not living. Did you all aware of that? We don't know when he lived, but I have a real good idea. There's some clues in this book, and scholars for 2,000 years haven't figured it out, but there's some clues. I don't think Job lived after Moses.
I think he lived after the flood, before Moses. As a matter of fact, I don't think he lived during Joseph's time when they were in Egypt. I think he lived either during Abraham's time or Isaac's time, Yitzhak. So that puts him back before the law. The law had not yet been given. Remember what Paul said? When the law is given, then sin becomes exceeding sin. When the law is given, that's why God put that law into the world, so that sin would become exceeding sin. Not just, oh yeah, I sinned a little bit, but I'll make up for it. No. Then you don't understand the word exceeding. Exceeding means there's nothing you can do. Exceeding means you are so wicked, so treacherous, so devious, spirit, soul, and body, that unless Jesus dies for you, and unless the Holy Spirit changes you to kills you, and unless the Holy Spirit lives in you and breathes through you and operates through you, you can't do a thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You got on to that? That is not just a theological statement. That's a practical, psychological, experiential statement. You can't do anything. You can't be a good wife. Okay, I want to just see a show of the hands of women here. How many of women here are good wives? Good wives. Exactly. You can't be. It's good. Praise God that you figured that out. Your husband saw that right off. A lot of men will say, oh, my wife's good. But what they're talking about is she doesn't outwardly oppose me. But inwardly, she's ticked off big time. She's not that happy with you at all. She's just leaving you alone because she's doing card playing or something. But she's not at all happy with you. You see? Now, so no woman has ever been happy, ever, with her spouse. They always pick wrong. It just shows me women aren't smart. Because they always pick wrong. I don't care who they pick. It's always a bum. It's always, you know, a guy that's worthless, or he's inept, or he's a weakling, or he's passive, or he's too dominant, and he's a despot, and so on. You never pick good guys. Peggy, you were fortunate. Because I am docile and very tender and loving. When I'm dead. See, the Holy Spirit figured out how to help my marriage by killing me off. Until you're dead. And it takes a lot of furnaces I'll tell you what, it takes 7 times to go through the furnace. It doesn't just take 1 or 2 times. You got to go through over and over and over and over, because your sin will just pop up again and again. It'll just pop up again. It'll just come right back. Your pride will be right there. Your anger will be right there. Your lust will be right there. Your bitterness will be right there. Your envy will be right there. It just keeps coming back, because you still don't believe on Jesus, even though you believe on Jesus. Yes, you believe deep in your heart, but not in your soul, not in your life. You don't believe in Jesus. You believe in yourself. I believe in Jesus for eternal salvation, but for temporal, me, I'm adequate. I can do it. I can handle it. Hey, Mom, no hands. Look, I can do it. I'm okay. God, I got it. I got it. People can come to one of my messages and have them all, because I always say the same thing. So you don't even have to even come to this church 2 times. If you just come 1 time, you could come the rest of the time and sleep, and you already got it. You already got it, because I say the same thing every single time. I say the same thing. I always teach this. Always. Now, what God wants to do is give you a free gift, because he loves obligating you. He loves obligating you so that you owe him worship. I know he created you, but he also redeemed you, and he also gave you the Holy Spirit. Praise, praise, praise. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Adoration, adoration, adoration. That's all he wants. Because it's not you doing anything. Those are not works. Those are just responses to his goodness. God is good. God is great. God is everything. You are nothing. You are nothing. I can do all things through him. I can't do all things, but I can do all things through him. I can't have a marriage without him. I can't have a church without him. I can't run the government without him. I can't do a business without him. But I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. I'm the engine that could. I can do it. So all of us are self-confident, because we've been taught that by our parents, by religion, by, you know, your own natural hubris, your pride, your arrogance, because you think you're a Nimrod. You think you're a god. Everybody thinks that. We're not different in that. Everybody's important. I tell you what, how you find that out. Somebody said, well, I don't feel I'm you know, I try to stay humble. Well, just walk by and ignore you and see how humble you think on the inside. We're not talking how you behave on the outside. On the inside, you resent it. She didn't even say hello to me. I was in church. She didn't even say hello. Nobody even came over. They don't love me in that church. I'm not going back. That's how arrogant you are. You think you're that important. Just because you walk in, everybody should notice you. Well, Jesus would have. He'd have come in and beat you. Because Jesus loves you by chastening you. You see? He'd have knocked that out of you that you thought you had to be self-important. You have no value. Whatever value you have was a gift. It was given to you because you were wicked. Not because you were a victim. You're not a victim. You're a culprit. You deserve death. First story in the book. The day you eat of it, you'll die. First story in the book. And we're always pretending like, well, I didn't eat. I nibbled. But I didn't just eat. And I felt guilty when I was eating, too. I just felt guilty, I'll say that. I'm not like that slob over there. They just ate and kept eating. I ate and felt bad. We make all these distinctions that God just doesn't make. He doesn't see any difference. All have sinned. He's not making any differences among us. You see that? So everybody here should relax because you are just as wicked as everybody else in this room. Completely wicked. Pastor Jim, I'm the righteous of Christ. Oh, yeah, but look, you're talking here. That hasn't changed anything here and here. You're just talking here. Well, yeah. Well, he doesn't want you to stay here. He wants faith active. Active. Working. Operating. Through the Holy Ghost. Not you doing it. That would just be more legalism. Well, he wants the Holy Ghost to do it. After you're dead. So the first thing the Holy Ghost does when he comes in is not help you out. He doesn't want to give you wealthy and healthy. That's the faith teaching. You know, come on and get wealthy and healthy and everything will go your way and God's for you and God is wonderful and so on. So you're in Christ, Christ in you. You got the authority of the believer. Take dominion over the earth. Blah, 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 blah. This is great teaching. It's garbage. It'll all fall down. I don't have to knock it down. It'll fall down on its own. All these big church growth movements, their churches will be gone in a few weeks. They're over. I'm just telling you something. It's gone. Not going to happen. It's just flesh, 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 flesh. You know, big screens up there, you know, people in nice suits, pretty girls dancing on the front and all this. This is garbage. We don't have Starbucks. We don't have a bowling alley. We don't have all that stuff. So we're just getting the riffraff. But I'm going to tell you something. Sooner or later, people will hunt for the truth because that is not truth. And it'll be caught. It'll sooner or later, God will send it through the fire anyway. Even though they're trying to avoid the fire, you can't avoid the fire. Amen? All right, Peggy's going to leave before I even read the scripture. And that wouldn't be good. I got to read some scriptures here. 32, verse 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, or Elihu. Eli, or El. That means God. So he was the son of Barachel, the Buzzite. Right there is a clue as to when this was. Right there's a clue that Elihu, this is a key right here. He's a Buzzite. How many know who Buzz is? We still have that name today. Hey, Buzz. How many know who Buzz is? Well, it's in the Bible. This is Abraham's brother's number two son. This is why I think, by even naming this, I think he's saying just a few generations back, so I think it's in the day of Isaac. I would place this in the days of Isaac while they're still in the land. And Buzz was from Idumea, which is on the other side of what's called today Jordan, on the other side of the Dead Sea. So I think when it says he's a man of the east, he was the richest man in the east, I think it's talking about that beautiful area from Jordan, Jericho, all the way down towards Saudi Arabia, right where all the war is today. I mean, not quite, but just beyond it, Aqaba and all that area. It's a beautiful area. You can grow, I'm telling you, grow the biggest grapefruit there, the biggest, you know, oh, I mean, they're huge. They're this big, and it's really good fruit and stuff, dates and all that stuff. So it's a lush garden area. Anyway, I think that's where this guy is from. And I think he had camels and stuff, and they were shipping dates and, you know, grapefruit to Fort Worth, stuff like that. So this guy was rich beyond measure. And this guy, Elihu, is a relative. The other three guys are definitely not relatives. They're heathen. But they're all talking together. So this couldn't be the time of the law. This is not Moses. This is before the law, when all men had was natural law. And another reason why I think so is because he doesn't call God Yahweh, which he revealed to Moses. He said, Abraham knew me as El Shaddai. That's the word that's always used in Job. El Shad. Shad is a breast. A breast, there's two breasts. The one breast is an exposed breast. That's the right breast. That is the breast of power. The other breast is a hidden breast. That is the female breast, and that's always a breast of nourishment. So what he's saying is God is El Shaddai, the mighty one, who has power to destroy wickedness and who has nourishing power to correct and restore and bring to life that which is good. It's a beautiful picture of God. Now, when God restores Job, he is not restoring him. I'm going to close with this. He's not going to restore him to where he was back up here. He's not going to restore him to some legalistic place. He's going to restore him not to his original condition, dominion. A lot of the faith teaching is, hey, man has dominion. Christ Jesus has removed the curse. We're back in dominion again. You're not. You're back in death, not dominion. That's what's messed us up, being in dominion. Because we weren't dead, therefore God wasn't alive. We became God. So what he's doing is restoring you to his original intent, his original purpose, his original plan to make you Christ-like. That was the original purpose. Now, you're not being restored to what you were. You're being restored to what he is, what God originally intended, what you were in the mind of God. So he's making my marriage, he's making my relationship with you, my church, he's making my world for me, restoring me to what it was supposed to be. Not in the world to come, but in this world. Woo! You see that? You see, in heaven, everybody's dancing. Everybody's rejoicing. Down on earth, they're griping and grumbling and complaining. So, thank God you're all Christians. I hope you're not just faith Christians who believe that Jesus died for you. I hope you're dancing Christians, rejoicing Christians, worshiping Christians, loving your neighbor Christians, that people can see that wasn't you, that was God. I give God the glory. They don't thank you and, oh, thank you for loving me. You know, it's nice now that you become a Christian, you're a decent person. No, this is garbage. It's not psychological change, behavioral modification. We're looking for a totally transformed person where you can't even see you. You can only see Jesus in you. It said that in the New Testament, they saw that they were the men that were with Christ. They weren't looking at the men. They were looking at Christ. That you've been with Christ. We can tell. He's rubbed off on you. So the world can see by your light and by your salt. Job said he was an innocent man. What way? Now remember, he's not yet seen the law, so he doesn't know exceeding sin. He only knows simple sin and simple hypocrisy. So what he was saying was this, and God agreed with him. Under the natural law, which everybody's under, you are a perfect man. You did that, and you gave God the glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's under simple. Until you see the depth of your sin, you are not yet perfected. Job was good, but not perfected. That is, he was good in the eyes of men. That is, he was good before God. Even God said to the devil, have you seen my servant Job? Perfect. Yeah, but perfect under the natural law, not under the Mosaic law, because the purpose of the law was given to make sin exceeding sin, so that you would not boast and brag and say, you know, I'm going to make it, or I'm going to do it, or I. No, I is out. All of a sudden you realize, I can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I can do nothing. I can't run a marriage. I can't handle business. I can't do anything. I can't even eat right. I can't sleep right. I can't do anything. When you get to that point, blessed are you. You finally, if you could say to your husband or to your wife, you know what, I've been a rotten husband. I've been a lousy wife. I have not at all honored you as Jesus would have done. Please forgive me for that. Oh, man, that would change a marriage. Can you imagine that? I've never heard that from a man or a woman. That would be something strange to hear. I was a rotten husband. Pega sometimes asks me, well, you know, you aren't that good a husband. I always go like, you don't know the half of it. I'm rotten to the core. The only thing good about me is Jesus. When he breaks through every once in a while, praise the Lord. Stop looking at me. I'm not your God. Go over to the refrigerator. I put a picture of Jesus there and a picture of me. They're not the same. So I don't know if that's still there, but we used to have that there. Peg, you're making a mistake here. This is Jesus, this one here. This is me. She wanted me to be a God. You know, pick, kind of, you know, look to me. My man of God. What a joke. I'm not a man of God. Not like that. Not psychological. Not actual. Faith, yeah. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I have to. I'm such a rat without him. I need him. I need thee every hour. Amen? So, you know, the reason we need Jesus is because we're no good without him. I don't know if you know how bad you are, how evil you are, how wicked you are. You're wicked. I would never trust you. Put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. Amen? This will save your life. Anyway, Job is being tested here. And you know what? The test is not to condemn him like his friend said. Oh, I know why you're suffering. Because God hates your sin. You got hidden sin in you. He said, no, I don't. If I do, it's nothing you know about. Prove it. Get one. Just say one. And that's why God said to him, have you seen my servant Job? What's he done wrong? God is not saying the natural law of righteousness is worth anything. All he's saying is Job did it. It's not how you get saved. Job feared God. Job loved his neighbor. Job was just. He was moral. Job had all those things. Natural. It's not enough. So God was perfecting him and using his power not to condemn him like his friends wanted, but to make him perfect. That's why he said these words. I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know, you're trying to find sin in me that I'm 1 and 2 up here. I'm just telling you something. You're not finding anything up there. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this. I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know what you're saying to me to condemn me is not right. Are you trying to condemn me? No. Actually, I'm trying to give you hope, life, laughter, joy, peace, abundant life. Well, yeah, but you said I was no good. Well, you aren't. You're not. In the eyes of God, you're not. Well, some of the people like me, you know. Well, I know, but not God. He doesn't like you under the law. Under the law, you don't have a standing. Outwardly, natural law, of course. Everybody in the natural law is eating of the tree. And under the tree, he didn't eat any evil, and he only ate good. But that's not enough. He didn't see yet the Mosaic law. This is a man before the Mosaic law. This is only with natural law. As a natural man, he was the best. So what? He still hasn't been perfected, and the only way to do it is through the pain, physical, and through the grief, psychological, but he wouldn't let go of his faith. That's what God was proving it, and Job even prayed for it. God, kill me. Just take my life. Take my life. I hate this world. I hate life. I once was so rich and so handsome and so powerful and so everything. I had everything. Now I got nothing. I don't want to even live. My kids are gone. My wife, you know, wants to be with me anymore. And I don't want to even live. And God's saying, no, you're doing fine. No, I'm not. Please, come on. What did I do wrong? These guys are saying I did something wrong. What do you say? God said, it has nothing to do with that. I'm not talking about right and wrong. You don't even know what right and wrong is. But God hadn't gotten to his part yet. We still have to go through Elihu here. And Elihu's raised a very interesting question. But we'll have to pick it up next time. Sorry. I didn't do 2 chapters today. I did 2 verses, though. God is good. I hope you're blessed. God is going to restore you to his original purpose. God will restore you to his... He's doing it right now. He's doing it. All the hell you're going through. It's good. Say it. I love it. I accept it. I take it. I need it. Woohoo! See? The best is yet to come. Amen. All right. God is good. David, you're going to close up here. I got to run to the other center group.